Which kind of leads me to like the next thing that I wanted to get your opinion on. A lot of times with all this stuff going on, like I don't know if you have read in the news about all the shootings that happened up in Chicago. And I was reading on my Facebook, because I have Facebook friends that aren't, you know, necessarily Black, but they were promoting Black Lives Matter. And a lot of their friends were commenting back and saying stuff like, well, I'll care about Black lives when Black people care about Black lives. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that, because, you know, that's a lot of the time what, from the flip side, on the other spectrum, people try to throw at us is that, oh, well, you know, it's all this Black on Black crime, and they try to use that to discredit the Black experience and the Black Lives Matter movement. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, that's just pretty much what it is. It's a cop-out, and it's an excuse to use. I mean, everybody knows, and statistics can prove, that anytime a people, you know, are within close proximity within each other, or you know, close by, it's really a socioeconomic thing.
What do you say back to people that feel that, you know, Black Lives Matter isn't something that they can get behind until Black people care about Black lives more?
I would say that, like I said, it's a cop-out. And, you know, this goes to show you, to, you know, piggyback off of what I was saying. I was thinking that, you know, maybe we should go into that protected class, as we had in our previous conversation. But if you're looking for any type of sympathy from other races of people, people usually have a tendency to not care unless it affects them. So
right.
If Black people are looking for any type of sympathy from, you know, these fake liberals or people that are quick to say, well, I have Black friends, this, that, and the third, or I have Black people at my house, you have limited Black associates. You know, a friend is somebody that you basically can't even describe a friend. But to answer your question more directly, it's a cop-out, and it's a cowardice excuse that's always being used to perpetrate some type of reaction that they can assert whenever, you know, somebody who's non-Black does something to somebody's Black. In addition to the fact that, if we want to go back into the whole slavery aspect of it, a lot of people forget that you had Black overseers. So hence, America, you know, has indoctrinated us and poisoned us into believing that, you know, Black is bad, and Black is this, and Black is that, and that it's easier to attack, you know, someone who looks like you as opposed to somebody who's not, you know, looking like you, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, you know, I definitely think I agree with you. And to add to what you were saying, you were basically saying that the statistics show that, like, whoever you're in close proximity to, that's who you're most likely to be a victim of crime from. So looking at the stats, white people are more likely to be killed by other white people, like, statistically, because that's who your community is, that's where you live, that's who's surrounding you. So when they talk about, you know, Black on Black crime, if, you know, if you will, it's like, it's ridiculous, because that's where most Black people live, around other Black people. It's exactly. Not that, and it's not that the Black Lives Matter movement is discrediting that, because a lot of times people that are not Black that say that, they don't, like you were saying before, they don't have Black friends that they're connected to, that they talk about these issues with, because if they did, then they could see, just even on Facebook, that those same Black friends post about issues like that and call that out. And the Black Lives Matter movement does call that out in terms of Blacks killing other Blacks. But at the same time, you know, not only is it a proximity thing, but it's also, as you were touching on before, it's an economic thing, you know. So it's all about economics. It's like, if you have a group of people and you redline where they can live, and you make their communities impoverished, and you don't give them access to better education through schools, or just like give them access to jobs and whatnot, like higher paying jobs especially, then what you think is going to happen? You're going to have more crime in those areas. And if you heavily police those areas, the same thing. So it's all systemic, it's all endemic, you know what I'm saying? So like, it's crazy that people, you know, just want to point to that to discredit.
It's a repetitive talking point as well. It's a, like I said, it's a fake talking point that they can try to assert whenever, you know, racism, and like you just pointed out, you know, systemic racism is called to the carpet. Right. Well, what about Black on Black crime? But you have, you know, certain people they call themselves and consider themselves as like black conservatives or something like that. I mean, you know, listening to that, like to conserve, you know, it's like, you know, what do you have that's of any significance as a race of people within this country to, you know, even put yourself in a conservative mindset? But that's neither here nor there. There's getting into the politics of it. But, you know, it's like you had just said, it's really a socioeconomic thing, because, you know, poverty creates this destitute mindset in which it's more easier to attack people that look like you, and you guys are both in the same position, because unfortunately you have the police that could protect other, you know, affluent communities, and people know that, you know, hey, if you go out to the suburban areas and you try to break into anything or you try to steal anything, hey, the infrastructure and the policing communities will protect these affluent communities. You know, so you're absolutely right. It's a socioeconomic thing.
Yeah. And then what I've realized is that in talking to, quote unquote, my white friends who are dealing with trying to talk to their white friends about the issues. One of my friends in particular, she basically noted that a lot of white people that she's talking to, when she's sharing black experiences and black stories that, you know, people post online about what their experiences are with racism. I remember one of her recent posts she did, the guy was talking about all the things that he's dealt with as far as like racism, and there was one incident where he experienced racism from a man who was a schizophrenic, and this white lady in the comments went into talking about some, well, I discredit everything he has to say, because, you know, if he's able to take offense to something that somebody that's clearly mentally ill is saying, then I think that anything else that he's sharing about his experience can't possibly be as bad as the magnitude as he's portraying. So in my short little like synopsis, I'm like, you know, people will find anything as a reason to discredit you and your experiences. It's like, until they deal with that, then it's like, that's when you're invalidated. And this was coming from somebody who my friend had told me that the lady that commented that on her post, that particular lady has a child that's biracial. So she thought, she was all the way confused as to why that person had those views. And I had to explain to her that, like, just because somebody gets with somebody black doesn't mean that they're like knowledgeable on black issues. One, doesn't mean that they aren't racist or prejudiced themselves too, because again, they might other their children or their experience, like, oh well, that won't never be my child, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it just feeds into itself. So I feel like I've gotten to a point
to that lady to have, like, to basically disagree. I mean, this is what I'm talking about, the fake arrogance and the ability to be able to try to change the narrative to make it fit whatever she believes,
right,
you know, was said to the guy. And you know, if the guy is skits, you know, he skits, but he was still able to be able to conjure up something that he said that was racist to the man. So he ain't too schizo.
Right, exactly. So I just basically, I've deduced that, like, it's not worth my energy and time to educate all these people. You know what I'm saying? Because,
well, they don't care anyway. I mean, yeah, and that's
the, they don't care.
That's the thing that I see a lot of when I, you know, on my Twitter feed and stuff like that, and I see a lot of black people that's basically trying to explain themselves to a lot of these neo Nazis and racists and fake liberals. Whenever you try to explain anything, I mean, they're not stupid. They clearly understand racism. They clearly understand white privilege. So for black people to continue to go out of their way, you're subconsciously putting them in a position to where you're like, hey, look, not all black people are like this, or hey, you know, let me just try to show you my opinion. They don't care and they don't give a shit. So it's like,
yeah,
that is basically putting yourself in a subservient position, and right, that is, unfortunately, you know, it shows a lack of black confidence.
Yeah, and that, and I do agree with that too. I feel like, you know, when you do that, also, it's like, I'm not gonna explain myself to somebody that they're crazy. Like, I'm not gonna explain myself and my experience and why I'm validated to somebody that doesn't see anything that I say or do as validated anyway. You know, but I do think that there's a lot of white people and people that are non-black that are on the fence about stuff, and I do think that it opens people's eyes if they're willing to
But a lot of people, unfortunately, are on the fence about things until it affects them. I'll give you a prime example. You know, when the Asian community, when Donald Trump was basically calling it the Kung Fu disease and, you know, the China disease, you had a whole lot of the Asian community up in arms, you know, about, you know, oh, this is stereotypical, oh, this is racist, and all of a sudden it's racist. But whenever, you know, a black person, you know, you go back and you look at those 92 riots, when Latasha Harlins lost her life, you know, and that's basically what helped jumpstart those 92 riots out there in LA. Right. You know, you had nobody really from the Asian community back then or even up to today now, you know, that has basically, you know, called out their own community and say, hey, this is wrong, the treatment in regards to black Americans in this country. But the minute something affects them and their community and a lot of their businesses start, once again, point back to your opinion when you said everything is socioeconomic, you know, they were starting to feel the pressure, the economic pressure, where a lot of people were saying, hey, I'm not going into that Asian restaurant because more than likely they won't wash their hands, or, you know, I don't want to catch the coronavirus disease. And who's to say that, you know, there is some of the meat products are not, you know, what we would be classified as rodents. So, you know, it's convenient until it affects other people.
Right. I definitely agree with that. Now, I wanted to pivot on some things and just, you know, ask what you think about, with everything going on right now, how do black people keep themselves mentally, physically, all that type of stuff, like, safe, you know, and keep themselves in a good space?
Well, physically, I've actually been riding my bike lately. And in fact, once we get off the phone and have our conversation, I'm basically going to go out there and go ride my bike a little bit tonight. So physically, I think that cardio and dieting is one of the two most important things that black people can do, you know, because to get good cardio in, you can still pretty much isolate yourself to a certain degree without, you know, being on a treadmill at a gym, exposing yourself, you know, with close proximity and contact with somebody else. Mentally, I think that, you know, everything that's going on right now, sometimes you do have to decompress and get away from it and just take a step back from it all. Because if you're looking at the news 24/7 and you constantly, you know, are put in a negative mind frame, it's very easy to get swallowed up into a lot of the imagery, a lot of things that people are seeing, whether it be good or bad. And that does, and it can, and it will have an actual negative effect on one's mental ability to be able to cope, to be able to, you know, still think rationally, as well as just the ability to be able to push forward with their day-to-day activities in life.
I agree with that. You know, that's why I've recently taken back up like art and things like that, because I just feel like I've had a number of people that I know that have lost their lives, not to the coronavirus, but just, you know, living life, you know, car accidents, whatnot, this year, and they're in our age group. You know, they're young, they're millennials, you know, they're either in their late 20s, you know, early 30s, whatnot. And I just was like, you know what, regardless of whatever's going on, positive, negative in my life right now, I need to, you know, take that time for me and to decompress and to put my energy into things that make me happy, into things that help me be creative, help me to get my mind off of these things, but also a way for me to express myself and express what emotion or feelings that I'm sitting with in that moment or during that period of time. So that's what I think I would suggest to people that's out here that's dealing with this virus, this police brutality stuff, this everything that we have going on in the world of 2020. But one of the things I think I was, you know, you were touching on, like, physically keeping in shape too, which I definitely think is important, because, you know, black people, you know, one of the main reasons why this, particularly for the coronavirus, why we're really at risk is because of pre-existing conditions like diabetes and whatnot. So I think it's important to keep your health up, like work out, eat as best as you can. And I know that that's a little bit tied to economics too, but try to be active in your home or wherever your personal space is. So I think that's important. So I'm glad you brought that up. But when I was asking about physically, I meant like, you know, everything going on, you hear about people getting burned, people getting, you know, hung from trees, or like people being found hanging from trees and whatnot. Recently, people are talking about that. I was touching on, like, what do you do to keep yourself safe physically? Like, you know, as a black person in this country? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I am a strong, you know, proponent of making sure that you exercise your Second Amendment. And I think that everybody that can afford a firearm needs to have a firearm, especially if you're going to expose yourself to the world as we know it. You do have a right to defend yourself. I do think that people should, you know, be carrying in today's world, especially black people. What is your thought?
Well, you know, I think it's an interesting thing to think about and grapple with, because, like, on one hand, you want to keep yourself safe, but at the same time, you realize that the laws and everything surrounding, like, the things that the NRA, for example, protect for people that are not of color, it doesn't, those same rules don't apply to you necessarily. So, you know, we have a lot of examples of that, like people that carried and then they got into a situation with the police and they were killed, you know, when they weren't doing anything wrong, like Philando Castile comes to mind. Like, you know, registered gun owner, you know, he had the gun for protection because he lived in a neighborhood where he needed, you know, he felt like he needed protection, and he, you know, everybody knows the story. You know, he told the officer he had the gun, and then that's what led to his, you know, death. But so I think it's a precarious situation as a black person to be in, like, because it's like, you want to protect yourself. You want to have, you know, if you want to own a gun, you know, then you do those things and within a legal ramifications or whatever of that. But at the same time, it's like, you realize that by having those things, you kind of put yourself a little bit more at risk too.
No doubt.
So let's just close it on out, cuz.
What's the deal, cuz? We'd like to thank you guys for tuning in. Be sure to like, subscribe to us on all platforms where you guys can listen to your podcast. I'm Dre Chili.
And I'm AZ Shan.
Thanks for tuning in.